You know, sometimes I come in to share with so much to say, I don't know where to begin. And I'm a nervous wreck that I may not make it. So there's nothing to do but begin. It certainly is a continuation of last week's shiur, but it is completely devoted to Parashat Bishalach and sundry other ideas. Let's say the following. You will recall that last week we talked about the Ramban at the end of Parashat Bo, where he talks about the significance of the concealed miracles and somebody who doesn't recognize that everything that takes place on the face of this earth is with divine providence, and the significance and the meaning of all of the great revealed wonders that God did in the past. Their purpose was so that we should arrive at an understanding that there are nisim nistarim every day and every moment. There are concealed miracles that take place every day and every moment. The whole world is one big mess. Certainly there's no question about it that the survival of this country is one big miracle. So here we were talking about mezuzah, because the Ramban had singled out mezuzah as a mitzvah that just if you buy a mezuzah for a zuz and you put it on the doorpost and you think about the significance of the mitzvah, you think of that this represents the idea that there is a one God in this world who runs the whole world. The Ramban had used mezuzah in the context of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, and this is one of the questions that we asked. You will recall, we said the answer of the Minsky Rebbe. So here I am in a mezuzah mode, and then there it is Thursday morning. I'm reading the Haaretz, my daily aggravation. Sometimes my daily aggravation turns out to be something. I start reading an article, I don't know what hit me. The article tells us the following. 10 days ago, that means about 2 or 3 weeks ago, you remember there was a minister in the cabinet called Naomi Blumenthal, who was summarily fired, dismissed by our prime minister because she refused to answer questions that had been put to her by the police. The article says the following. When the police were looking for her in the Misrad HaTashtiyot, that's the infrastructure ministry, there was a crew of Arutz 1, Channel 1 television crew, who were following the member of Knesset, Naomi Blumenthal. Before she turned the knob to open the door of her house, the lady of the Likud, Naomi Blumenthal, stretched out her right hand to the mezuzah and quickly kissed the mezuzah.
Wow.
Wait a minute, this was caught live by the TV camera. Now the fellow's writing the article says, "You'd never catch Yuli Tamir or Zahava Galon kissing the mezuzah, chas v'shalom." But they caught Naomi Blumenthal in the act of kissing the mezuzah. Alright? Says even your Sheikh Rosh HaKnesset Avram Berg, you wouldn't find him kissing the mezuzah. But Naomi Blumenthal, they caught her. Gechat, she kissed the mezuzah. What's so significant about her kissing the mezuzah? It's already, it's cute already. But it's more than that. There are 10,000 young people between age 18 and 21 who are going to be voting for the first time in the coming elections. And a study was made of those 10,000 young men. And one of the, and women. Those 10,000 its between 18 and 21 who are going to be voting for the first time in the upcoming elections. And amongst the many questions one of the things that they had to either put a check mark or an X was the following statement. The statement reads the following. Bechol pam shani nichnas lecheder, every time I go into a room, ani noheg lenashek mezuzah, I kiss the mezuzah. 37% said yes, they kiss the mezuzah every time they go in and out of the door. Now what's significant about this, of course, is the fellow who's writing the article, who is could probably not kiss the mezuzah, but it depends how he said it, because he only moves his left hand. He says that labor doesn't stand a chance in the world of getting one single vote out of this group that are now professionally called the mezuzah kissers. It's not a joke. This is a defamation, but it's not sad. It's going to get better. 61% say that they always fast on Yom Kippur.
Wow.
All right? 50.8% said that they always make sure not to mix milchiks and flations. Now, this is interesting. It also has to do with the mezuzah, famous joke about the mezuzah. Of this entire group, there are only 17.6% who are concerned, frightened, or terrified about the idea that somebody in the house is going to become a chozer b'tshuva. Right. That reminds me, of course, of the famous mezuzah joke about a woman belonged to a reformed congregation, and she had three sons. And then the first son, you understand, became about Tshuva Chabadnik, and she was tearing her hair out, she was probably sad Shiva. The second son, you understand, the second son becomes about Tshuva, becomes a breastmother. And then she sees already signs that the third son is also going to become about Tshuva, so she goes running to her reformed rabbi and asks him, Gaval, Gaval, God in Himmel, Rabbi, what should I do? She says, go home quickly and check your mezuzahs. It's fascinating. By the way, how after 54 years of secular education, there can still be 37% that are menashkei mezuzot. By the way, how often do we do it? Don't answer. I know that when we have especially young ladies, guests for Shabbos, I get nervous. They walk into the kitchen to help them break, they all kiss themselves. They all march out of the kitchen into the dining room, they all kiss themselves. It looks even obsessive, but the fact is that the Shulchan Aruch says, and from what the Shulchan Aruch says, it may seem that it's really the kind of thing like, that should be done once in the morning when one goes out in the shower and says, the person should kiss the mezuzah and say, Hashem Shomri, Hashem Tzili, God shall protect me. Then you come home at night, especially in the times in which we live, you walk out in the morning, you need a prayer to take you out into the world, and you have to come back at home at night and, kiss the mezuzah again. So I'm trying to remember from my childhood. I don't remember what I did in my childhood, but that I strayed from the path. There's no question about it. I admit it, and it's only because I'm trying to get back into at least kissing the mezuzah in the morning and kissing the mezuzah at evening time. Right? But it's amazing. They didn't show whether it's Ashkenazi or Sephardim. But probably more smart than, we sort of so-called intellectual elite Ashkenazim, we don't do things like that, but it's in fact, as Shulchan Aruch says quite clearly, that one should kiss the mezuzah, whether it has to be done every time one comes in or out of a room. I don't believe so. I think it's like the halacha of standing up for a rebbe or a rashiva. When he comes in the morning, you're supposed to stand up. When he leaves in the evening, you stand up. You don't have to, keep jumping up and down. All right. That's the story, the continuation of mezuzah. But we're not finished, because the mezuzah is going to become important again If you'll take a look at your sheets, number one, I give you the opening of the Shulchan Aruch Yoredei on the Mitzvah Mezuzah. I'll go basically, the Shulchan Aruch is going to say that there are two things that are accomplished by the Mezuzah. One is quite clear, we learned it last week. L'man yirbu yimeichem yimeivineichem alu adama. The mezuzah is a skula for arichus yom v'olek length of life. Mitzvah aseh. Let's take a look at the right hand side. Mitzvah aseh lichtov parashat Shema v'choyo and Shema. It's a positive commandment to write the first two parashot of Shema, Shema and Doriyo Shema, ulekov on al mezuzat ha-pesach, and to put them on the doorpost. As it says, tavkam al mezuzot beikecha u'bisharecha. You have to be very careful with this mitzvah. As our rabbi said, a person who has tefillin on his head and on his arm and sits the big dough, and a mezuzah at his door, it sort of gives one an assurance that he will not sin. And because mezuzah said describes the oneness of God, the tomid b'vod that says so. Yisro yichudo shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. When you come in and go out of the house, you remember that God is one. V'yiten yin al Torah al panav l'dilti yechadeh, who placed the fear of God upon one so that you shouldn't sin. V'chol hazoy bo yarichu yomav v'yimei bonav dechtiv l'man yirbo yimeichem v'mei v'neichem. Anybody who's careful with this mitzvah, length of life for him and for his children. A few lines further, the Shulchan Aruch Halacha Bet, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ugedolom Yizeh." This is, by the way, the Torah Shulchan Aruch, the forerunner of our Shulchan Aruch. The Torah was written by Rabbi Yaakov Palach Turin. Ugedolom Yizeh, one of the Shabbayet Nishmar Yadav. The mezuzah is protection for the house. As the Gemara learns from the Pasuk, Hashem Shomrecho, Hashem Tzilcho Yad Yiminecho, God is your guardian, and he's like your the shade over you. Melech Basav Adam, Minvistin. The Gemara gives the example, which was said by Unkel Sager, that take a look at the difference between a king of flesh and blood and a Melech Malchei Amlach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The king of flesh and blood is inside, and those who guard him are on the outside. And we're on the inside, and God is the one who guards us on the outside. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomer Etchem Mibachutz, God watches you from the outside. All right. And then his last sentence is, he's now said that there are two rewards that come for fulfilling the mitzvah of mezuzah. One is length of life, and the second is God guards and watches over your house. However, he says, when you come up along, you hate kavanat hanakayma elo lekayim mitzvah katovel yitaleh shetzifon vada. The intention of the one who fulfills the mitzvah should not be for any one of those two. But one's intention should be to fulfill the mitzvah for its own sake, because God commanded. Not to use it as some kind of an amulet to protect the house, you know, a chayim necklace, or that's all it is. Or even a mezuzah necklace. One should fulfill the mitzvah because God says so. But the fact is, Torah says, well, my give you make, we made it, that there will be length of life. And the Gemara says that God stands on God on the outside. On the left hand side, we have the Beit Yosef. The Beit Yosef was Rabbi Yosef Karo, who wrote a commentary on the Torah Shulchan Aruch, and then later he went on to write his own Shulchan Aruch, which became the accepted Pesach Halacha for Klal Yisrael. So he says, "Ugedol Mizu, Shabayit Nishmar Yadah, the house is guarded through this. Chol Hazoyir Bo, whoever is careful in the midst of the Zuzah, Yadichu Yomav Yimei Bonav, his life and the life of his children will be lengthened." Even though, you see, the Shulchan Aruch is saying, take a look at what the Shulchan Aruch is, he's zeroed in on something. Shulchan Aruch says they have length of life. Ugedolah Misu, the second halacha says, even greater than that, is that the house is guarded. Which is greater than which? Isn't Arichus Yonim, length of life, greater than God standing on guard outside the house? Ugedolah Misu. Even more than this. What do you mean even more than this? In what way is Hashem standing guard over the house greater than the blessing of Arichus Yonim? By the way, in the blessing of Arichus Yonim, you're already guaranteed that he's going to watch you. So why did the Shulchan Aruch use the words Ugedolah Misu? Greater than Arichus Yonim is the fact that God watches. So he says, even though a person likes much more length of days than the house being guarded, you know why the Shulchan Aruch calls guarding the house even greater? Because Arichut Yamin hu nes nisar, hu shmirat habayit hu nes nigla. He refers to, in comparison, one to the other, person has length of life, that's a miracle in concealment. You know, the genes were good, I took care of myself, I did exercise, I watched my diet, I walked 3 times a week, 40 minutes, I took care of myself. I've even shown him, is a nes nister, a nes in concealment. But that God stands in front of your house and watches it, that's a nes goli, he says. As you compare the two, and you know which is greater, so which one is greater? Shmirat habayit hu nes nigla. Shahadorin bishar batim shein ben mezuzah, he says, yeah, those who live in other houses without a mezuzah, remember, whatever he says, you have to take within the context of a perfect Jewish society. A perfect Jewish society. Don't ask any questions today on somebody who has a mezuzah and a tragedy occurs. We're talking about the perfect utopian Jewish society. Nothing is perfect today. Nothing is utopian. But in a classic Jewish society, so it would be. A person without a mezuzah is going to suffer. And the person with a mezuzah is not going to suffer. So what's he saying here? What the Beit Yosef is saying is that in the midst of the mezuzah, you have a composite of two ideas. The idea of a miracle in concealment and a miracle that's not in concealment. And that was the whole point of the Ramban that we learned last week. Ramban said the purpose of concealed miracles are that they should awaken us to the fact that all of life is one ongoing miracle. This is the idea that we're going to elaborate on today. And I'll begin with a famous question that was asked by Rav Levi Yitzchak Ibadichev, the Kedushat Levi. But only one part of it we said last week, but the Kedushat Levi asks the following question. Why is it that on Chanukah and Purim we say Alanisim? We say a prayer Alanisim. On Pesach we don't say Alanisim. Why don't we say Alanisim on Pesach? On Pesach, what, there weren't awesome miracles that took place during the whole period of Pesach. As we said, we're going to have Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf is less than Chanukah and Purim. So Chanukah and Purim, you say Alanisim, and Pesach and Sukkot, you don't say Alanisim. Why not? So the Rav Levi Yitzchak Ibadichev differentiates between Nes and Pele. That was the last thing we were talking about. He differentiates between two words. A Nes is a miracle, but it's in concealment. A Pele is a miracle that anybody who sees this is clearly convinced that this is beyond nature. The boundaries of nature have simply been shattered and this great miracle has taken place. So the miracle in concealment is a nace. The miracle that's not in concealment, but so clear and so obvious and so overwhelming, is a pella. Now watch. Number four. I have the last three psukim of this seder, Parashat Bishlach. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. The struggle against Amalek had just taken place. The sneak attack of Amalek. And Yehoshua goes out and he weakens the forces of Amalek. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, God said to Moshe, Tov Zog Zikaron B'Sefer, write this for a commemoration in a book. Simbaz de Yeshua and put it into the ears of Yeshua. I'm going to erase the name of Amalek from beneath the heavens. Listen to the last pasuk in the Sefer. The next to last pasuk. The two last pasuk. Moshe built an altar and he called the altar Hashem Nisi. God is my miracle. Wait a minute. Earlier in the Sedra, there was the splitting of the Red Sea. Did Moshe build an altar after the splitting of the Red Sea to say, Hashem Nisi, God is my miracle? Why not? In what way is the battle against Amalek less of a nest than Krak Yamsuf?
More of a nest than Krak Yamsuf.
Because now he's building the altar.
No.
No, because one is a pellet.
First of all, less of a ness rhymes. That's number one. And number two, because that's going to be the pshat, you'll see. You'll see what the pshat is going to be.
The
Kriyas Yamsuf
is a pellet.
Kriyas Yamsuf is a pellet. And Milchemet Amalek is a nesni star. It's in concealment. Anybody who was at Kriyas Yamsuf, as Rashi brings it, a maidservant that the sea saw more than Yecheskel ben Buzi, the great prophet. One does not need to make known a pella. A pella is obvious to all. You know what needs pirsum? You know what needs to be made known? A nace. Because a nace is something that is really in concealment. The halacha of Chanukah and Purim, the mitzvah, the substantive mitzvah of Chanukah and Purim is the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisah, to make the miracle known. That's why originally you were supposed to light Chanukah candles at the window in order to let it be known. Because one could very well have said that, it's true that the Greeks were had much larger forces and they were stronger, but this was a guerrilla warfare. They were able to attack them from their flanks, from their right, from their left, to come down from the mountains. One could see the whole story of Hanukkah as being something completely within nature, with no divine guidance or intervention at all. Of course, Megillat Esther, the whole story of Purim, is clearly something that is cloaked in and camouflaged with so many veils. It can all be, the love story of a tipsy king and a beautiful Jewish girl, and therefore she saves the Jewish people and everybody lives happily ever after. Why doesn't the name of God appear at all in all of Sefer, in all of Megillat Esther? Because the fact is that God is working in concealment. And what's the purpose of the Megillah? Megillat Esther, to reveal that which is hidden, to reveal that which is camouflaged, which cannot be seen. Because there's a halacha on Chanukah Purim, there is a halacha of Pirsum and Nisah, to make it known that this was a miracle. You don't need to make it known that Kriyat Yamsuf for Yitzhak Mitzchayim was a miracle. It's obvious. That's a pella. But Nes needs Pirsum. Moshe Rabbeinu does not build an altar after Kriyat Yamsuf. You know when he makes an altar? After the war against Amalek. And he tells Klal Yisrael, you should know, Yes, our strongest and our finest young men went off to battle, but you should know Hashem Nisi, the one who intervened over here was God. I was up on the mountain and I held my hands up in prayer. And when my hands remained up in prayer, we waxed stronger. And when they began to go down, we lost. Everything that takes place in this world is an act of divine intervention. That's the difference between Nes and Pella. Kriyat Yamsuf is a Pella. Milchemet HaMalek is a Nes. A Nes needs piercing. Therefore, you say Al Anisim on Chanukah and on Purim. Chachmei HaKabbalah. I said last week that I very rarely use gematria. And the end of the shiur was the gematria that Nes equals 110 and Pele equals 111, because there's an aleph in Pele that you don't have in Nes, which means that in Pele the Echad, the one God, is seen clearly. In Nes he is concealed, and therefore we have to reveal him. There's another gematria that is just about fundamental to all talk of nature. Because what we've been saying last week and this week, and we're going to go one step, a few tiny steps further this week. There is no such thing really as nature. Nature, we said, is an ongoing, unending, unceasing series of miracles, except that therefore we become accustomed to them. The rare moments at which we say, my, it's a miracle, the birth of a little bouncing baby, and take a look at this baby, like a little summer. It's a great miracle. Everything is miracles. The great gematria that is used by all the Chachmei HaKabbalah is Elohim. The name Elohim, what's the numerical value of Elohim? Lamed is 30, Mem is 40, Yud is 10, that's 80. An Aleph and a Hey is 6, 86. Ha Teva, nature. Nature is Begumatria Elohim. Teva, trust me, Ha Teva equals Elohim, because Elohim is Teva. He's nature. There's no such thing as some kind of a force called nature that works on its own. It's all fueled and kept going every moment by God. Therefore, of course, in the first story of creation, in Sefer Bereshit, there's only one name of God that is used exclusively, and that is Elohim. Because the one who creates nature, and nature really is a misnomer. It's the ongoing series of miracles. All right? In the Shira, toward the end of the Shira, Oz Yosher, Shama Shira, Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzukanita. God, take care of the Jewish people and bring them and plant them in Eretz. So Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, until your people cross in, O God. Ad Yavor Amzu Kanita, this people that you have acquired, until they pass over. It says twice passing over, meaning entering Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says the first one, Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, until your people God comes into Eretz Yisrael. That's the first entry of Jews into Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yehoshua bin Nun. Ad Yavor Amzu Kanita, until this people that you've acquired will cross into Eretz Yisrael. That's the second arrival of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. The difference between the two, the Gemara says, is the name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which represents Pele. Elohim makes nature. Yud Kei Vav Kei makes Pele. Ah. The first time around it says Yud Kei Vav Kei, because that's when Jews came in the days of Yehoshua. They crossed the Jordan miraculously. The waters of the Jordan split, and Jews crossed into Eretz Yisrael. There was a clear manifestation of God's presence. Yahushua, on the day of battle, of great battle, he says, let the sun stop at the Givon, and let the moon remain where it is over the valley of Ayalon. Miracles. God acted not in concealment when Jews came the first time, but God acted in the Pele. The second time they come, it doesn't say the name of God, Yud-Kedok. It says, Ad Yavor Amzu Kanita, until this people will cross. The Gemara says, would Israel have been worthy? They would have come in the days of Ezra with great miracles as they came in the days of Yahushua. But it seems they were not worthy of that. But one of the things that I want to point out is, while there's a downside that they came without great miracles, there's an upside to it too. And there's a halacha that says, when they came in the days of Yahushua, that was Kedusha Rishona, the first sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. Kedusha Rishona, the halacha is, Kidshol Ishato, below Kidshol Atilavo, became sanctified for its time and not for all time. The second sanctity, the one that came under the cloak, the concealment of nature, it seems like, you know, a bedraggled bunch of Jews are returning to an extremely hostile Eretz Yisrael, and they begin little by little to settle the land without the great fanfare of miracles. But that second sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, that Halacha says, Kidshol Ishato, became sanctified for its time, the Kidshol Atid Lavo, and was sanctified for all time. When Jews in the last 200 years came for the third time back to Eretz Yisrael, there was no necessity from the point of view of Halacha to go through any process of sanctifying the land. Which means that there is an upside, there's an advantage. There's an advantage to the miracles that take place beneath the surface, over and above the great nifla'ot, the great wonders. And in a few moments, we're going to get to a Meshach Chochmah that is going to explain that. But first, the Haftorah. The Haftorah for Parshat Beshalach is the Shira of Devorah. Shira in the Sedra, Shira in the Haftorah. But there's a very big difference between the Shira in the Sedra and the Shira in the Haftorah. What takes place in the Haftorah? We know the story. The Jewish people were suffering under Yovin, king of Canaan, and the commander-in-chief of his forces, Sisera, and Devorah, and Barak ben Abinoam go out to war against Sisera, and they destroy Sisera. In the Shira of Devorah, in her song, there is one sentence where she says, that Min Shomayim Nilchom. It's a very beautiful, beautiful song Devorah sings. Min Shomayim Nilchom, from the very heavens they waged war with him. Hakochavim Mimesilotam, the stars from their orbit, Nilchamu and Sisera, they waged war with Sisera. Nachal Kishon Girofon, the river of Kishon swept them away. Nachal Kedumin, Nachal Kishon. You know what Nachal Kishon is? Haifa. No, it's not fair out there because you come from Haifa. So you know, Nachal Kishon is from Haifa going eastward. Going eastward. Chazal say, our rabbis say that, I know the stars went out of their orbit, and who knows what they did to poor Sisera. Josephus says that as the forces of Sisera were approaching Nahal Kishon, there was an awesome and frightening downpour. Rain, hail, snow. And the Kishon became so swollen that the waters of the Kishon swept away the forces of Sisera. Now, by the way, I don't believe that Josephus is in any way disagreeing with our rabbis. Sure, from heaven war was being waged. But you know how God wages his war from heaven? It doesn't have to be Kriyas Yamsuf-like. Just the precise weather conditions at the right moment. And how often have we said that rain in Eretz Yisrael is always, always the hand of God. Always the hand of God. There aren't a thousand stories of bombing missions during wars that couldn't take place because the weather conditions weren't right. And then at the right moment, the weather conditions became right. Josephus and our rabbis are both saying the same thing. Of course God is waging the war against Yavin, king of Canaan, and against Sisera. Of course the heavens are a part of this great struggle. But the means by which they do it can very well be understood as, what a set of circumstances of Hashlugana rain has to come. Sisera was saying this. Okay. It has to start pouring. Now, our meteorologist told us that it was going to be warm for this time of year and everything was going to be beautiful. And all of a sudden, it starts pouring. The whole song of Devorah is really a song about a natural battle. But what she's saying in the whole story is not like Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Moshe and the children of Israel. I noticed something I never noticed before. I haven't told you in a long time that you inspire me. In Os Yoshev it says, Os Yoshev Moshe Bnei Yisrael at Hashir Azot. Moshe and all of Israel sung this song. I'm just looking at the first passage of Shirat Devorah. It says, Vatosh of Devorah Ubarak Ben Avinon Bayomahu Lemor. Devorah and Barak Ben Avinon sang on that day. Because Devorah and Barak Ben Avinon, their responsibility now is to be Mepharsim in the Nes. They are the ones who are now taking the Hanukkah and the Purim and they're telling Klal Yisrael, you should know God was on our side. Os Yoshev Moshe Bnei Yisrael, Moshe doesn't have to sing for Bnei Yisrael to tell them anything. There's nothing he can tell them. They all saw, they all experienced, they were all part of Kriyas Yamsuf. But the Torah, the Baruch Ben Avinon, here, there were people who were brave and people who were strong who came to join in this battle. And by the way, the proof that what we're talking about is a very, very so-called natural battle. And remember, whenever we use the word natural, we mean it is Elokim Begematria HaTeva. She condemns those who didn't come. There were tribes that didn't join in the effort against Sisera. There were cities that didn't send anybody to hell. And she can, if this is all miraculous, who needed anybody? No. There's the effort that Klal Yisrael has to put into this whole struggle. And she says, Me Ephraim. Ephraim came to wage war. Binyamin came. Machir came, Zvulun, Yisachar came. Reuven didn't come. Reuven lived on the other side of the Jordan. You know what? They expected that Jews who are not living in Eretz Yisrael proper should also come to help. Gilad be'Eber, Hagarden Shachen. The Don was up north and he didn't come either. But Zvulun, who also lives along the coast, he came. So there's a great balance over here. Shiras Moshe Os Yoshev is the song of Pele. And what do our rabbis tell us? The Haftorah to be read is the Shiras Devorah. So you know, one can make the mistake of thinking, you know, it was a cute thing to choose as a Haftorah. Here's a shira, There's a Shiva. Shiva here, Shiva there. Oh, no, it doesn't work like that at all. There's a great idea involved over here. One Shiva is Pele, and the other Shiva is Nes, Teva. And Nes needs Pearson, and therefore it's Devora and Baruch who sing the song in order to let Klai Yisrael know Nes Gadol Hayah Bo. A great Nes has taken place over here. Moshe doesn't have to tell people anything. There's an outburst of joy coming from both of them. Now, let me ask you. What could better provide an example of everything that we're talking about? And now, this year is great. It's Tu B'Shvat on Shabbos Shira. Wow, what a tremendous combination. I don't know what Rabbi Adler said in the Shir before, but I heard him quoting one of the Mishnayot in Rosh Hashanah, but more than anything, I know just one Mishnah. Barbo Prokim Ha'olam Nidom, down number 6 at the bottom. Barbo Prokim Ha'olam Nidom. There are 4 times of the year that the world is judged. Pesach, God judges the grain. Ba'atzeret Shavuos, God judges Peidot Ha'ilon. B'Rosh Hashanah, Kol Boi Ha'olam, Ovin L'Fanav Kibinei Maron, and on Rosh Hashanah, all men on the face of the, all people on the face of this earth I judge. The Mishnah is going to go on to say, Bechag, I don't have it here, Bechag, on Sukkot, what has been judged is the water. What's the Mishnah saying? The Mishnah is saying there's no such thing as nature. Everything is judged and decided upon by God. What's Tu B'Shvat? Tu B'Shvat is nature. Tu B'Shvat is not nature as would be understood by others. We now have a completely different understanding of Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat fits in to Shiraz Dvara. It's the Nes Nista. Tu B'Shvat Higiachan. Like or not, you understand? Decisions are going to be made about the fruit. Whatever happens on Tu B'Shvat had been decided on by God the Shavuos before. You think it just happened because you planted and there was rain and everything? It's not the way it works. In number 3, we have the classic statement with regard to nature and miracles. It's a Gemara in Masechet Tanit. The Gemara is telling stories about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was one of the Tanaim who was a great, great tzaddik. And the Gemara says about him, Kol ha'olam nizom b'shvil Chanina b'ni, the whole world is sustained because of my son Chanina, God says. The Chanina b'ni, my son Chanina, dai lo b'kav charuvin le'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. All he needs is a bowl of boxer from one Friday to the next. He has no means. Boxer. So the Gemara says, Chad Ben Shimsha, one Friday evening at twilight, Chazi Lebratei Dehava Atzila, he saw that his daughter was sad. So he told her, my daughter, why are you sad? Omrele, she said to him, Kli Shel Chometz Nitchalef Li B'Kli Shel Shemen. I had vinegar and I had oil, and I got the two of them mixed up. And with the vinegar, I put the vinegar into the menorah, and I lit that for Shabbos. Amalah, he said to her, "Biti, listen to this statement. Biti, my daughter, my ichpatlach. What difference does it make to you?" This is the great statement. Mishama Hashem v'yidlok. The one who said that oil can burn can say to vinegar that it should burn. The Gemara ends by saying, "Tell me, learn by your dolly for all the kolayon kulo achshehidimi menu erla avdola." That menorah continued to be lit all of Shabbos, and they still have vinegar light for avdola. The Gemara says many miracles happened to him. You know why? Because the difference between miracle and nature, so to speak, is only for somebody who may not be fully aware of what's nature and what's miracle, or one who's not fully aware that there's no difference between nature and miracle. The moment a person arrives at a stage in life or at a moment in his development that there is absolutely no difference to Rav Chanina Mendoza, it was not just a cute thing that he said. He believed with every fiber of his being that everything is God. And he's the one who said that oil should light. He can say that vinegar should light. He has already passed the stage. By him, there are no doubts. Everything is God. If everything is God, then you can do miracles for him. Because it doesn't make any difference. To him, it's all the same. He has achieved such a level in his development. Right. Now, may not be enough time, but I'm going to take on the Meshech Chochmah on the other side. And even if we do just one column, we will have accomplished a great deal. This is the Parashat of Chukotai. It says in the Parashat of Chukotai, when Atati Gishmechem, come, I'm going to give you rain in your time. He brings from the Medrash that B'leil Shabbos is the good time for rain, is Friday night. That's the best time. People usually are home. I say unless of course there's a shom zacher at the very end of town. But usually people stay home Friday night. Right? So he says in the days of Shimon ben Shetach and in the days of Shlom Tzion Amalka. Shlom Tzion Amalka was the sister of Shimon ben Shetach. I imagine that's why the two streets go into one another. Yeah, Shlom Tzion Amalka and Shimon ben Shetach. What Shimon ben Shetach is what? That's Bituach Lovi or no? It's okay. But he became famous for Bituach Lovi. He should have been famous for something else. The Gemara says that in days of the Shimon ben Shetach, rain came down every Friday night. Anshenasu chikim kuklayo, the grains of wheat were as big as kidneys. Usaodim and Bali, what could cut inezeitim, like the pits of olives. Imagine big olives. Vadashim and beans, what could dindre zohar, like coins of gold. Vitzog mehem chachomim yichim v'dorat avon, the chachomim put them away in safekeeping for future generations, in order to tell future generations, take a look at what sin can cause. If you don't have this kind of produce, then it's obvious that you're sinning. Shenema, as it says, Chatoseichem mon la'tov mikem, your sins have withheld the good from you. Ho'inyan. Now he explains. Ha'anhoga ha'nisit hi eina tachlitit. Beautiful sentence. Miracles are not the way in which God runs this world purposefully. There is no tachlit in and of itself for miracles. We're talking about miracles, let's better translate it into our terminology, pele. A pele is done at a particular moment in time for a particular reason, but that's not the way God wants the world to run. So, ultimate goals and objectives are not great, great, outstanding miracles. Shashem Baruch Olam Shetitnahik B'Yofan Ativi, God created the world that it should go in a natural manner. Asher Yibat Elokim, V'Kol Tachol, the world is the daughter of Elokim, and I say, in what way is it Elokim? Because Elokim is the Gematria HaTeva, God created a world that it should run naturally. But in this concealed, within this natural world, there's a possible for great blessing. There can be great happiness, unending. How does it work? Only in our condition, Shinyakirha Adam Kihie Nena Dakash Gotha Pratipa Kopra, the way in which this natural world becomes a world of great blessing is when man recognizes that everything is from divine providence. Vateva, here he says it so clearly, Vateva, nature, is Rak Nisim Ritsufim, series, ongoing, unending miracles. That's really what nature is all about. The only difference between nature and miracle is that we become accustomed to it. We see it so often, every day, day in and day out. The eye becomes accustomed, and therefore we don't take much notice, except for that rare occasion, you know, when you see a beautiful flower, a beautiful baby. You know, there are certain things that can all of a sudden shake us, that nature is so awesome. But otherwise, we just become accustomed. When man goes in the ways of God straight, he follows God, he can be blessed, even in natural ways. That was the whole blessing of the Jewish people in the Chukotai Telechu, if you will go in my statutes. I will give rain in its time, there will be peace, and no sword shall pass through the land. Very important statement, he says. God is the one who wrote Torah. Zohar even says God looked into Torah and he created the world. That means the whole world and all of nature that's in it is all in absolute sync with Torah. And therefore, if Torah is the blueprint for the world, and that's the way God built it, so what's built into the system is, boy, I'm Shamar Tishnu, if you will listen to me, I will bring rain in its time. If you won't listen, it won't be that way. Miracle is not something beyond nature, that's nature.
So that man shouldn't make the mistake and forget the Creator and the one who has put nature in order. Because he's so accustomed to it, he's going to think, it's separate and distinct on its own. In other words, to arouse and awaken us to the idea that there's a great force that propels all of nature. That's why there were miracles. Avol Einan, he says it again, Einan Tachlitiyim. The miracle is not the purpose. It's not the goal. It's not the objective. That's not the way God wants the world to be. V'hanisim urak l'hoyel libot b'nei Adam al-nifalot ha-borei. The purpose of miracles is only to arouse and awaken the hearts of people that there is a creator, Baruch Hu b'teva, in nature who did everything. Because it's his hand and his pure divine providence. Lachain, he explains a Gemara that's so amazing, so beautiful. The Gemara says, whoever says Halil HaGadol every day is a blasphemer. You know what Halil HaGadol is? Halil HaGadol. Okay, great. So I took a whole siddur. Halil is... On Shabbos we have that whole list of Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Kilol Chazdei Lo Sein Tzoyis Gedol Osovado Kilol Chazdo Etokas Adam Mitzrayim Kilol Chazdo. That's called Hallel HaGadol, the big Hallel. All the Kilol Olam Chazdos. Anybody who says that every day is a blasphemer of God. But whoever says Tehillah L'David every day, whoever says Ashrei every day, is Ben Olam Haba, has a place in the world to come. Why, if one lists all of those Kili Olam Chazdos, why is he a blasphemy? He's saying God took us out of Egypt, God brought the Shvatim Gedolim upon the Egyptians, the whole thing, Kili Olam Chazdos. And if you say Ashrei, then you have a place in the world to come.
So he says, because if you say Hallelujah, then you know what we're thanking God for every day? For Nifla'ot, La'osei Nifla'ot G'dolot L'vadol. You seem to be saying that God can be seen and perceived only in the miracles that go beyond nature. But in daily nature, day by day, you don't see God. That's blasphemy. Because then you're telling us that he's not the creator. You're saying that he's not involved in this world. But when you say Ashrei every day, so now Ashrei has two advantages, the Gemara says. Ashrei follows in the order of the Aleph Bet. Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet Hey. You know what Aleph Bet represents? Nature. Everything going in order, from Aleph to Tav, step by step.
That's the reason the Nun isn't in there.
No, the Nun, that's a, alright, the Gemara asks, why is there no Nun in Ashrei? And the Gemara says there's no Nun in Ashrei because the word Nun can represent, God forbid, the idea of Israel falling. Israel falling, Nifilah. Therefore, there is no Nun, but despite the fact that it can represent that, the very next pasuk says, Zomer Hashem L'chol Ha'Ofim, God supports all those who are about to fall. Then he goes on to say the following. Therefore, in our davening every day, after Baruch Hu, we say, Baruch Ha'Cha Hashem L'keim Melech Olam Yotzer Or, who created light, to Borei Chosha, brought darkness into being, Oseh Shalom, makes peace, Borei Ha'Kol, creates everything. The brachos of Shema, at night and in the morning, are a song, an ode to nature. Hameir la'oretz v'la'dor v'la'ad, God who brings light to the whole world and all those who live on it, b'nachal with mercy, u'betuvo, and in his goodness, b'chadesh v'chol yom tamid, every day he renews creation. Morabu ma'asecha, how great are your deeds. Kula m'chachma, so you did everything with wisdom. It's really an ode to nature. And then, you know what we have over here? We have part of this tefillah that comes right after Baruch Hu every morning, follows in the order of the alphabet. Kael, El, Baruch, Gedol, Deyor, Heichin, Ufaal, Zohrei, Chama, Tov, Yotzar, Kavod, Lishma. It's a description of nature, and it follows the order of the alphabet. Shabbos in the morning, Kael Adon al Kol HaMa'asim, Baruch Umavarach, Sifi Kol Neshama, God Lo V'Tuvo Malei Olam, Dat U'Tuna Sovim Odo. Kael Adon, every sentence goes straight through from Aleph to Tav. So the Meshech Chacham says, you know why the songs to nature go Aleph Bet? Because Aleph Bet describes nature. That's what it's all about. And therefore, the one who says that is really making a statement that everything that takes place on the face of this earth is an act of God. Not like in a life insurance policy, that the unusual and the exceptional is considered an act of God, but the usual is not. It goes on to say, I will call home at Tehillah L'David, whoever says Tehillah L'David, that's Ashrei. Shezem Edaber Ashrei talks about Mif'alot Sidur HaTimi, the natural order of things, every day. Muftach Shel Ben Olamah, he's guaranteed that he has a place in the world to come, because he's making the greatest statement of all, that everything is God. V'hinei Al Derech Nes, a miracle, the Pella that we're calling, Bilti Sidur HaTivi, is never part of the natural order of things. Eino Kein HaPella, here he finally uses our word. The Pella is not part of the order of things. K'mo Mon U'Kiyotzebo, Mon is not Nes, that's Pella. Arvol Ha'inyan, but he says, and this is the point that I want to make, in addition to all the other points we made, he says there's a great advantage
of nature over wonders. The great advantage is the fact that God created a world constantly. All can be sustained in this world. That's greater than one miracle. If there are 500 million children that go to sleep hungry, it's not God's doing, it's man's doing. God created a world in which it's possible that everybody can be sustained. And the idea of sustaining an entire world constantly, day by day. Hazon is our Olam Kulo, B'tuvo, B'hein, B'chesed. The first bracha of Benjamin is most probably the greatest statement of all of the significance of the meaning of nature. And the Meshech Chochma says, Avul Inyan HaNifla B'Hateva, the Pele of nature, who has or not to be did. Constant nourishment for a whole world. Shezeh Kiyum HaNimtzayim, sustaining all the billions of people on the face of this earth. That's greatness. That's a miracle. That's Ashrei. Poteya et yadecha umazbiya l'chol chai ratzon. Open your hand and sustain everybody. In that respect, Teva is greater than miracle. Teva is greater than Pele. I think we have to sum up. We've come a long way from the article in Haaretz about the mezuzah kisses. But the idea of the mezuzah is that God is there constantly watching us. As long as we enter into a relationship with Him, and as long as we make it very clear that we realize that He's it all. So therefore you have mezuzah has both nes, in a sense, nes and pela. Adichus Gamma, length of life, it also guards the house. Jews coming in the days of Yehoshua was Pele. Jews coming in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, that was Teva. Halal HaGadol is Pele. Ashrei is Teva. Difference between Pesach and Sukkot on the one hand, Chanukah and Purim on the other. Here it's in our Sedra, we have Kriyas Yamsut in the middle of the Sedra, and then we have Milchemet Molek at the end of the Sedra. One is awesome Pele, and the other is the Sidur HaTifi, men going out to war. Kriyas Yamsut is Chometz, is vinegar. Milchemet Molek is Shemen. You know who, to whom God does miracles like the Yamsut? The one who knows that there's no difference between Chometz and Shemen. That's really Tu B'Shvat. Sure. Tu B'Shvat is the day in which God is bringing into being what had been sighted in heaven before. It's not just plain Teva, Hashkedia, Porachat. The Shkedia is Porachat because God decided that it should be so. And that's the difference between the Sedra and the Haftarah. Oz Yoshia talks about Pele, but Batosha Dvoro Uboro, Ben Avi Noam talks about natural war. And it's the editorial comment that the natural war was really God from the very heavens waging war against the enemies of Israel. I'm not sure what to say. We either need explosive Teva over here. I tell you the truth, even though the Meshech Chochma says that a nature is better than a Pele, boy would I love a Pele. I love a Pele.